Good morning. Today's Daf and Ksuvos is Yudalad. We are towards the end now of the first parak of the Masechta. We are going to conclude in Mirtz Hashem tomorrow. In the meantime, however, we are continuing a discussion, Machlokes between Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yoshua, regarding claims between him and her, and who is going to be more favored in terms of credibility, her claim or his claim. We started off with a couple of Mishnayos where she wasn't a Besula, and an explanation obviously is necessary in terms of why she wasn't a Besula. The expectation when he married her is that she was in fact a Besula, but it turns out that she wasn't. And she has a claim, he has a counterclaim, and who is going to be extended credibility. Throughout these Mishnayos, so Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua are consistent in their position. According to Rabbi Gamliel, according to Rabbi Gamliel, she's going to be given the credibility, the favor of credibility. And Rabbi Yoshua, consistently through these Mishnayos, says, Lo mi pi anu chayim. We're not going to be living by her mouth, and that he's going to be given the favored credibility. Previous Mishnah that we did on Yud Gimel to yesterday's Daf, so that went on to discuss where she was with a man. She secluded herself with a man. She actually got pregnant from a man. And now the identification of who the man was. In other words, we don't know who the father was. She's telling us who the father was. Is she going to be believed under those circumstances? Once again, Machlokes Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Yeshua. According to Rabbi Gamliel, she's going to be believed. According to Rabbi Yeshua, she's not going to be believed. And we continue along those lines. The halacha falls like Rabbi Gamliel. We already heard that a couple of times. Although, towards the beginning of today's daf, in just a few minutes from now, there may be a little bit of limitation in terms of that halacha. Meaning in terms of whether or not we should be following like the Shita Rabbi Gamliel, but that's coming up in just a moment. We're starting on Yud Gimel Amud Beis at the very bottom of the Amud Hahu. Hahu Arus Vav Rusasa Dasa L'Kamad Rav Yosef Yamra Minei Vu Amar In Minai. Okay, so it seems like a pretty straightforward case. The man and woman were betrothed to one another, but again, during Erusin, one's not allowed to be with a Zerusa. Okay, they were together, and and she got pregnant. And they go to Rav Yosef, and he Amra Minei. So she says, no, it's from him. Meaning she's pointing to him and saying, he's the father. And his response is in Minai. Yep, that's right, it's from me. Okay, it's interesting. We're really been focusing on, primarily, her claim and whether or not she's extended credibility. Over here, case is a little bit more straightforward because he's also agreeing. At the same time, however, how does he know? Meaning that she's acting in a promiscuous way. And so it is not exactly his place to know with certainty that he's in fact the father. Meaning in a moment, we're really going to be litigating her claim. But the fact of the matter is over here is that he's corroborating at the very same time. It's a little bit difficult to understand. His corroboration is providing what extra information exactly. He doesn't know that he's the father. So Tosus points out over here that maybe this particular case, this is not just a one-time occasion that they're together. Tosus suggests, proposes, that maybe they were together multiple times. Regardless, really the focus over here is going to be on her. So I'm Rav Yosef, Lamei Necha. So Rav Yosef now is going to have to paskin, meaning what exactly is going to be the status of the child. Is the child going to be a kosher? Is the child going to be a pasul? Meaning, do we have to entertain the possibility that maybe she, in fact, had relations with other men? And maybe the other men are going to be a pasul. So what's the status of that child? So Rav Yosef says, no problem over here, l'may nechesh. La. Chara daka moda. So first of all, so he's moda. Okay? Again, we discussed that just very briefly. And va'od ha'amar Rabbi Yehuda, ha'amar shmo ha'lachik ramin gamliel. So on top of that, says Rav Yosef, we know the halachas like ramin gamliel. Meaning, in all the cases of the Mishnayos, throughout these Mishnayos, Allah is like Rami Gamliel. Again, we've heard that already, but now we're hearing Rav Yosef saying it Lamaisa. And so that means to say that even just on her claim alone, so she's going to be credible. So, Amalei Abaye Vaha Kilo Mode Machshe Rami Gamliel. So the Gemara says, wait one second. Without his Hoda'ah, so you would think that Rami Gamliel would be Machshe? Meaning, really, you could bank on Rami Gamliel? So the Gemara says, first of all, this Pesach of Rami Gamliel, So I received a Mesora from Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Yehuda, which Shmuel says to Rabbi Yehuda Shenana. When Shmuel refers to Rabbi Yehuda, that's always how he refers to him as, right? He's sharp, and the one way to say it. So anyway, so he says, look, Paskin like Rabbi Gamliel, but only under the following circumstances, when the candidates of who the father could be are kosher. Over here, as far as the candidates of the men around the world, to this woman who's an Arusa, every single man in the world to her is a psula, is a puzzle. Why? Because she's an Arusa. As an Arusa, this is Rashi's explanation, as an Arusa, so that means to say that she's only right now muteris to one man, and even that one man she's not allowed to be with. But she's everyone else to her is going to be Eishes Ish. That would be Niuf. The child would be a mamzer. So over here, if she were to have relations with any other man, that would produce a mamzer. So over here, Rabbi Gamliel's psak that we listen to her, that's only if the majority of men who have relations with her would produce a kasher. Over here, it's beyond the majority. It's every other man other than her arus would in fact produce a mamzer. And so over here, don't paskin like Rabbi Gamliel. That's the mesora that I received from Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel. So I don't understand. Meaning, we said the halacha is like Rabbi Gamliel, and you're telling me not to pass on like Rabbi Gamliel. So the mesora that you received is not a distinction between Rav Kshirim and Rav Psulim, meaning Rav Kshirim and Rav Psulim are not going to be a consideration. But what is, in fact, a consideration is Lechatchila versus Bidyevin, meaning even though the halacha is like Rabbi Gamliel, but ideally we should not be going like Rabbi Gamliel. That's only Bidyevin. So, but this case over here, Hanami Kidyevidami, this is a case of Bidyevin. All right, she's pregnant. At this point in time, so in other words, if she would have asked beforehand, we would have said no. But now at this point in time, now that she's pregnant, this is a case of Bidyevin. And so therefore, we would in fact be going like Rabbi Gamliel. Okay, so as I mentioned, as much as the Gemara says halacha is like Rabbi Gamliel, so there seems to be a bit of a restraint in terms of actually paskin like Rabbi Gamliel. Our Gemara over here says that it's only to be done only b'dievet to paskin like Rabbi Gamliel. Okay, uriminu. So where are we? So after now a number of days of going back and forth on Rabbi Gamliel in terms of, in Rabbi Yehoshua, who do we believe? Do we believe him or do we believe her? So again, Rabbi Yehoshua consistently says that it's going to be him that's going to be given the nod of credibility. According to Rabbi Yehoshua, according to Rabbi Gamliel, it's going to be him. According to Rabbi Gamliel, it's going to be her. According to Rabbi Yehoshua, it's going to be him. And that's what we've been saying consistently now through these Mishnayos. The Gemara now is going to point out that we're going to learn a Mishnah together in Adios. And the Mishnah in Adios is going to seemingly give us the exact opposite read of these two Tanaim. Mishnayos and Adios, we've gone over this numerous times. So a collection of Mishnayos, which for whatever reason, we don't do in the Daf Yomi. Okay, it didn't make it into the rotation of Daf Yomi. I'm always confused by that. In other words, I know it's a series of Mishnayos, there are no Gemaras over there, but that doesn't stop us in other Masechtos. And so, but anyway, tucked away at the end of Nezikin, so you have a series of Mishnayos Adios. Adios are testimonies, meaning that a number of testimonies were provided at the end of Bayesheni, probably right around the end of Bayesheni. So the topics of Adios are all over the place, but what they really are is just simply various testimonies that are given by various Tanaim about halachas that are accepted. So here's a Mishnah. So the Mishnah here in Adios says as follows: Ramilei Abai LaRav Umi Amar Rav Yeshuainu Nemes V'Reminu. So Abai and Rav now have the following deliberation, and that is it true that according to Rabbi Yehoshua, she is not going to be believed? Let's learn together a Mishnah in Adios. Hey, Rabbi Yehoshua, Rabbi Yehuda ben Besera, al manasisa shikshir lekahuna. So Rabbi Yehoshua, together with Rabbi Yehuda ben Besera, are going to testify regarding al manasisa. Al manasisa, a widow, doe, doesn't translate well into English, right? So it's a confusing term. So basically what it means is that it's a suffix, right? It's a widow who's a suffix. Isa, doe. So I haven't made one, but I've seen it. So in other words, it's a mixture. In other words, it's flour, it's water, and a number of other ingredients that go in there. So over here, some sort of tarovis. So amanas isa sheikshir lekahuna. And even though what we have over here is somebody who is, right, literally mixed up, not literally, but the halachically mixed up, ksher lekahuna. So nevertheless, this woman is going to be ksher lekahuna. Okay, so, Amrlay, so before we get to the response, so the obvious impasse right now, what are we talking about? Meaning, what we know from this Mishnah in Adios is Rabbi Yeshua is a Mekel. And that runs counter to everything we've been hearing about Rabbi Yeshua in this parak of Ksuvos. So that's obviously the problem. But in order to understand the problem better and to understand the solution better, so what exactly is Amanas Isa? Okay, and this is where the daf gets a little bit difficult because it's really unclear. The Gemara itself never is going to give a definition of what the case actually is. And you see the Rishonim really struggle. Rashi and our daf, Rashi offers a pshat, Rashi offers a second pshat. Tosos offers a pshat as well. So what I'll do today is the following. I'm going to just streamline. In other words, there's a number of different ways to say it. I'm going to just present it one way, even though, admittedly, it's difficult. Meaning that's why there's so many pshatim, because with whichever pshat you're going to go with, it's going to be difficult. But I'm going to offer just one pshat, just to keep it nice and simple. But I'm just acknowledging, recognizing that this is not a straightforward discussion in terms of what exactly Amanas Isa is. We'll go with Rashi. We'll go with Rashi's first pshat. Rashi writes over here, Amanas Isa. You can see the Rashi. Shehi ba mikoach safik. Chalal kedilakaman. Shenitba ba safik chalal. So what happened over here is that we're talking about a chalal, but not just a chalal, but a safik chalal. Keep going. So example goes as follows. Shazarik balimo. Harishon la get safik karav lo. Safik karav la. Okay, so what happens the following. That the husband of her mother threw her mother a get, and we don't know whether or not the get landed closer to him, closer to her. Is she a grusha? The answer right now is maybe, right? It depends on where the get landed, in proximity to whom. Therefore, umes, and then what happens is that this man died. So in other words, if the man was alive, so we just simply have him reissue a get, and then problem resolved, and we would know, but we don't know. So she is a divorcee widow, right? We could put a backslash right between those two. So we don't know. V'nim says, u'safik grusha, safik amana. V'nasa kohen. And then what happens is that this woman marries a kohen. Now, she shouldn't have married a kohen because she's a safik. A halal is not allowed to marry a kohen. She's a safik halal, or in this case, halala. And she married a kohen. V'holi mimenu ben. So, and she had a child. That was safek halal. And so over here, that's now the safek halal. So this is going to be the case where we're litigating right now. V'heyed Rabbi Yeshua al-Manasar Shozeh, Shikshera. And Rabbi Yeshua gives testimony that this amana is in fact going to be a kshera. Ama mukmin la cheskasa v'arminan al tafsilena la lezumi safek, klamar, shema bala halal haya. So the, and what we're not going to do is that we're not going to go ahead and passel this child. Okay, that's Rashi's pshat. Again, as we're going to point out a little bit later on, it's difficult. It's a difficult pshat. You'll see why in just a few minutes from now. But meanwhile, that's the way we're setting it up. Okay, so, questionable child, and yet, according to Rabbi Yeshua, kosher. Okay, so, Amrle, and that now is problematic because what we've seen over the course of this perek is Rabbi Yeshua being a machmir. And Rabbi Yeshua is saying that she's extended no credibility. Okay. Now, as the Gemara is about to point out, the cases are obviously not the same, meaning this isn't so much a question of credibility as much as it is a question of suffix and what we do with suffix. So it's not exactly the same. It's not really oranges and oranges. They're different. The Gemara is going to acknowledge that. But right now, Abai and Rava are looking at it and suggesting that they are similar to one another. And then, of course, the problem is that we have role reversal. Rav Yeshua over here is taking a position. Rav Yeshua is taking a position that that we're going to be mekel. Amrle hachi hashta asam isha nises bodekes venises. Hacha isha mizana bodekes umizana. So to which the Gemara says, look, Not the same, not comparable. Because over here, we're talking about a woman who gets married. A woman who gets married, so she'll do an investigation. And so therefore, she's going to be a little bit more trusted. On the other hand, if a woman's just simply having relations outside of the framework of marriage, so she's mizana. So under those circumstances, is a woman going to be selective? Is she going to be careful who she's going to be mizana with? Rav Yehoshua, in the case of his nose, is not going to be sympathetic to her claim that she knows who the husband is. Sorry. She knows who the man is because exactly that, because it's not a husband. In other words, she's being mizana. So I'm a Rava. So Rava says, okay, fine. So it could very well be that your solution will be a fair solution. But the Rabbi Yeshua, Kasha, the Rabbi Gimel, Kasha, Hakatani Seifa. Look at the end of the Mishnah over there in Eidos. Amalem Rabbi Gamliel, Kibanu Eidos Chem. So Rabbi Gamliel says, look, it's Eidos. Am Mikabel, meaning again, the Mishnah is in Eidos. That's what they all are. They're testimonies that are given. So Rabbi Gamliel says to Rabbi Yeshua, granted, I hear you. Avamana Sesharei, Gazram Yochem and Zakai, Shalolo Hoshi Basin Al Kach. Rav Yochem and Zakai says, look, don't put a basin together, don't paskin on this. Sha'akohanim Shomim Lachem Larachek Avala Lakarev. Because basically, what are you telling to the Kohanim? You're telling them to be Mako? Right? They don't know how to be Mako. You tell them to be Machmir, they love that. You tell them to be Mako, right? They're not ready to hear it. Rabbi Gamliel is basically saying that the Kohanim are not going to be receptive to such a kula. So Elam Rava Dramingamlo Kasha. Okay, so what we are now looking at is not only role reversal in Rabbi Yeshua, but role reversal also in Rabbi Gamliel as well, because Rabbi Gamliel now is saying, look, it's not going to work. In other words, you're going to try to be Mako, they're not going to hear you. In other words, we should be Machmir. Okay, again, in this case, even the Mishnah Eidos, Rabbi Gamliel is not taking a seemingly personal position. He's just simply noting the reaction of the Kohanim if, in fact, you try to if you try to unveil such a psak. Okay, so, but what the Gemara is assuming is that this is also Rabbi Gamliel expressing his own view as well. So, and what's Rabbi Gamliel effectively saying? We got to be machmir. So now, in that Mishnah Eidos, so everyone seems to be flipped. Rabbi Yehoshua says, we're going to be mekel. In the case of the Amanat Sisa. And Rabbi Gamliel is going to be a machmir. Exactly the opposite of what we've been hearing in our Mishnayos. So the Gemara says as follows. As far as Rabbi Gamliel is concerned, Lokasha, Ha-Sambari Ha-Hashema. So Rabbi Gamliel will tell you the following. That over there, it's a case of Bari. Over here, it's a case of Shema. Meaning, in all of our cases in the Mishnayos, so she's making her claim, and she knows. In other words, when I say she knows, meaning she is as sure as she could be. Meaning she's telling you. That, in other words, who did I seclude myself with? That man. Who was I impregnated by? That man. In other words, she's pointing to a particular individual. So under those circumstances, that's what's called a tainus bari. So Rabbi Gamliel will tell you that under those circumstances, she's going to be believed. In the case in Eidos, what are we talking about? We're talking about Safek. Meaning, does she know for sure that, let's go with Rashi's pshat, do we know for sure that the mother was in fact a grusha? We don't know. We simply don't know. And so that's a case of Safek. That's why Rabbi Gamliel is going to be machmir in that case. Her claim is not definitive simply because the whole basis of the claim is going to be predicated on Safek. That is Rabbi Gamliel. So and Rabbi Yeshua, namelo kasha. And as far as Rabbi Yeshua is concerned, so it's also not going to be difficult. Hasam chatzveka, hachatresveka. So over there, as far as Rabbi Gamliel is concerned, so that is, where is it going to be machmir? It'll be a machmir in the case of Safek. Meaning in the case of doubt where we don't know. So under those circumstances, Rabbi Yeshua is going to be machmir, like in all of our cases. There, in the case of Amana Sisa, so that's going to be trace faker. That's going to be a double suffix. And since it's a case of double suffix, so therefore, it's a sfeik sfeika. And we're going to, and Rabbi Yeshua is going to be a makel. Now, this is where Rashi's pshat seems to really struggle. Meaning, because the Gemara is saying that the case in Eidos is not a case where it's a single suffix, but it's a case where it's a double suffix. Where exactly over there is it a case of double suffix? Meaning the way we laid out the case, the way that Rashi laid out the case. So the husband threw her a get, We don't know where the get landed, proximate to whom. Then the husband died. Now she is a grusha almana, meaning we don't know. She could be one of two things. Then she marries a Kohen, and then they produce a child. So the child now is a maybe halal, right? If she's a grusha, the child's a halal. If she's an almana, the child's fine. But we don't know. But really, all that seems to be predicated on one suffix. The Gemara describes it as a shreis fake, as a double suffix. Okay. So, and as a result of that, Rashi then offers another pshat. He quotes Rav Yosef Tov Ilim in terms of another pshat. I'm not going to go over the second pshat in Rashi right now. And even then, there's a third pshat in Tosos. And so there are multiple pshatim. Just to work with the one pshat that we are working with. So the trace fake over here could be, it's just a suggestion, just a consideration. It could be that the Gemara's usage over here of trace fake, not to be taken so literally as our classic, as the standard sfeik sfeika, but it could just simply mean that, look, we're talking, the woman herself is a suffix. The child is a product of that woman. So in other words, we are one step further removed from the actual suffix itself. Okay. Could be that's a pshat within Rashi. Regardless, either way, that the Gemara describes as being trace feika. That's why Rav Yeshua is going to be a meiko. Hilkach l'raim gamliel. So, as far as Rabbi Gamliel is concerned, the Gemara right now is distilling, meaning what is really behind the sheet of Rabbi Gamliel and what's really behind the sheet of Rabbi Yoshua. So what's behind the sheet of Rabbi Gamliel is all about Bari, meaning if she makes a claim and her claim is, at least to her knowledge, as definitive as it could be, meaning who's the father, she identifies. Right? And so as far as Rabbi Gamliel is concerned, as long as it's a tainus bari, so that's it. That is going to be moving it'll be moving the needle in terms of credibility, and it'll move it in her direction. She's going to be believed. Even if it's a case of suffix, meaning just one suffix, but still a tainus bari from her perspective is going to be all that we need in order to tilt the nemanus towards her. And the Rabbi Yoshua, and as far as Rabbi Yoshua is concerned, so even a tainus bari does nothing. Tainus bari has no bearing in terms of credibility. Meaning even when she says definitively, this is who the father is, so Rabbi Yoshua will tell you no. And the only thing that's moving Rabbi Yoshua is only going to be a question of whether it's a single suffix or a double suffix. A single suffix is going to be machmer, a double suffix, a sfeik is going to be meiko. So the Gemara is just simply now distilling the positions of Rabbi Yeshua and that of Rabbi Gamliel. Okay.
The distinction between a single suffix and double suffix in terms of one being machmer.
Well, generally speaking,
what's the basis for that?
Well, sfeik, meaning this is now going to be.
Why wouldn't one suffix be enough to be meiko?
One suffix is, in other words, we're talking about a suffix on an issa daraisa. Kohen can't marry a chalal. That's an issa daraisa. So if it's a single suffix, we're going to be a machmer. Like generally speaking, by suffix daraisa.
So for daraisa, you need a double suffix to be.
So by daraisa, you need a double suffix. This is now going to be the second time in our parak that we are entertaining the discussion of sfeik sfeika. The first time we saw was on daf tes, right? That was a classic discussion of Pesach Pasuch Matzasi. So there also, where the Gemara said that in the case of Sfeik Sfeika, we're going to be Mako. So what is the basis for Sfeik Sfeika? So, and a lot of ways to say it. The easiest way to say it, I don't know about the easiest, but one way to say it is that when you have a Sfeik Sfeika, so one Sfeik gets me to 50-50. Again, the numbers over here, I'm oversimplifying. But one Sfeik is 50-50. So on a 50-50, so we're not going to gamble on Issa Daraisa, but then once you introduce the second suffix, so now on the second suffix, so basically now what you did is you tilted the numbers, and now it's no longer 50-50, it is, again, I'm just throwing out numbers, it's 75-25, and so 75-25, so in other words, we have what's called a rove. So by a rove, so obviously we follow rove. Okay, that's one way to say it. There are a lot of ways to say it. But I think it's probably the easiest way. Anyway, good. So that's where we landed on all this. So when all said and done, Rabbi Gamliel Nehemenes, Rabbi Yeshua Lomi Pi Anu Chayin, And then and then what we did today, really just two things, meaning from a summary standpoint. Number one, we went over an actual case, an Arus and Arusa, and she got pregnant, and she's identifying him as the father. He happens to also identify himself as the father, and Rav Yosef Paskin that we're gonna believe her under the circumstances, because we Paskin like Rav Gamliel, and the Gemara says that even though it's true, but that's really only in case of Bedi'evit, it happens to be that case is in fact Bedi'evit. That was the first thing that we did. And the other thing that we did is that we compared, contrasted, and noted that the Mishnah and Adios, we seem to be having a role reversal, but the Gemara says it's not true. That case in Adios, even though the truth of the matter is it's unclear what the case actually is, but regardless, that case in Adios is different. And so that's why we're hearing different positions from Rabbi Yoshua and Rabbi Gamliel. But really it's because what we have to do is we have to dig into what the core is behind Rabbi Gamliel and behind Rabbi Yoshua, and the Gemara does exactly that. As far as Rabbi Gamliel is concerned, Tainus Bari is really what's moving the needle. And according to Rabbi Yoshua, it has nothing to do with Tainus Bari. It has to do with the fact of whether or not it's one suffix or whether it's a double suffix. By one suffix, we're always going to be machmer. We're not going to extend our credibility. And by sveik, so even without a Tainus Bari, we're still going to be makel because it's a sveik. Okay. Tana Rabbanan. We're on the bottom of Yudal Amid Aleph, and just one more topic for today. Although, really, it's not a new topic. It's what we've been discussing, but it just happens to be that we have another brisa on this very topic. Ezehu, Amanas Isa. So, what's an Amanas Isa? So, it's so funny. You would think, as we're about to enter into this brisa, the brisa is actually going to be describing Amanas Isa. Now, you know that's not true, because the Rishonim are struggling to give us what exactly the case is. So there's no way that the Bryce is going to tell us what it is, and then the Rishonim are going to struggle. So, you know, we're not really going to get clarity on what the case actually is, but what's the halacha? So, Ezu Amanas Isa Kol She'en Ba Lo Mishum Mamzeres V'Lo Mishum Nesinus V'Lo Mishum Avdei Malachim. So, who's the father? The father's not going to be a mamzer, not going to be a nesin, not going to be an eved. Amar Rebbe Meir. Okay, so, meaning, again, there's the Tanakhama of this Bryce, just simply means that there's no question mark regarding any of these psulim. Now, conspicuously absent from the Tanakhama is chalal, meaning chalal is not mentioned over there. Look at Rashi on the bottom of the Amud. So be'eruve sveikusa lo safik mamzir for lo safik nesins for lo safik avdei malachim ela safik chalal levado. Meaning the only thing that may be an issue is chalal. Mishum hachi nakar avdei malachim, mishum avdei shlomo, shayu ashir muvalei zroa, v'nasalem v'nos yisrael, ukegon, zara shal hordus, shaya evela beis chashmanai, v'gavri yado malach. And avdei malach shim simply because they were avadim who happened to have had power. And they married women. Meaning most of the time an evan's not going to be marrying a woman, and a Jewish woman, and it won't be an issue. But historically it happened that there were avadim who married Jewish women. In other words, they became powerful. In fact, Rashi himself gives probably the ultimate example of an Eved who got powerful, and that, of course, is Hordus.
What does Isa mean?
Huh? Isa means dough, literally dough. It just simply means it's a mixture. Right? Forgive me for using such a crass term, but a mutt.
A mutt.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, so Ezu Amanas Isa. So again, the Tanakhama says, as long as there's no issue of neither Mamzer, Nesin, or Avdei Malachim, so then we're fine. What about a little bit of Chalal that gets mixed in over there? Not a big deal. That's the Tanakhama. Okay, which again, now we know the Mishnah Adios, meaning that's what we heard from Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira. Okay, but this is another Braisa. Amar Rabbi Meir Shamati, we're on the top of the Amud Beis. So here's what I heard, says Rabbi Meir. Kol she'ein ba echa mikol eila masin l'kahuna. So as long as we have none of the above, so she can marry a kohen. Now, what Rabbi Meir seems to be doing is just simply repeating the Tanakhama. Tanakhama says there's no problem of mamzer nesin or eved. So then she can marry a kohen. Meaning, what about safek chalal? No big deal. What did Rabbi Meir just say? Same. Ditto. Which is obviously problematic. Meaning, generally speaking, when a new position is introduced in a brisa, so that means to say that there is some point of disagreement. Doesn't sound like that from the Braisa. The Gemara is going to pick up on that. The Gemara is going to try to resolve that. We're going to come back to that. So, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, Omer Mishum, Rabbi Meir, Vechenar Rabbi Shimon ben Asiya, Omer Kedvarav, and now another version of Rabbi Meir. Meaning, so this is now going to represent the third opinion over here in the Braisa, and that's the following. Ezu Amanasisa, call Shinidma Ba Safik Halal, Makirin Yisrael, Mamzerim Shabinayim, Ve Makirin Halal Shabinayim. So, what exactly is Amanas Isa? So, if you have a mixture of Safek Halal, meaning because here's the issue. The issue is that we know who the Mamzerim are, we don't know who the Halalim are. Meaning that as far as Mamzerus is concerned, so Mamzerus is a little bit more popular. People typically know who the Mamzer is. Halalim, so people don't know who Halalim are. We have Halalim all around us, and do we know who the Halal is? So, no, we don't know. And so, therefore, people stay away from Mamzerim. People typically do not steer away from Halalim. And therefore, if there's a questionable Halal, so you have to be Machmer. That seemingly is his position. Okay. Right. But in other words, right. Well, this is all, meaning when we are discussing Safik Halal, we're only speaking vis-a-vis Kohanim. Meaning for non-Kohanim, there's no issue whatsoever to marry a Halal. Perfectly fine. But for the Kohanim, obviously, it represents an Issa D'oraisa. And so you have a case of suffix. So now a question of what to do. So we have three opinions in the Braisa. And it's not totally clear what's happening over here. So Amar Mar. So the Gemara now is going to go back. This is standard. This is classic. The Gemara is going to go over the positions and try to help us clarify what exactly the positions are. So Ezu Amanasisa Koshin La Mishum Mamzeres V'lo Mishum Nazir Nesinus V'lo Mishum Avde Malachim HaChalal Kasher. So, Maishna Hanach Daraisa, Chalanami Daraisa. So the Gemara says, boy, am I confused. Just with the Tanakama. Meaning the Tanakama says that if there is any issue of Mamzer, no. And same thing with Nisin, and same thing with Eved. But if there's an issue of Chala, that's fine. Vis-a-vis a Kohen, a Chalos and Issa Daraisa, what's the difference? Visu Amarab Mirza Shemati Kol Sheimba, Echami Kolela Masin Lakuhuna, Hainu Tanakama. And then let's just pile on. Question number two. And that is, Rav Meir is repeating the Tanakhama, not seemingly adding a new point. What's happening over there? Question number three. Visu Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, Omer Mishum Rabbi Meir, Vechenei Rabbi Shimon ben Asi, Omer Kedvarav, Ezu Amanasisa, Kol Shenit Mam Basafi Chalal, Makirin Yisrael Mamzir Shabaneim, Vem Makirin Chalal Shabaneim, Vehamad Resha, Chalal Kasher. Now, previously in the Braisa said Chalal. Now, the Gemara doesn't mean Chalal right now. It means Safek. But in other words, but we already established at the beginning of the Braisa, the Safik Halal is fine. And over here at the end of the Braisa, you're hearing B'Shem Rabbi Meir that Safik Halal is not fine. So in other words, there has to be something going on in the Braisa. Three questions, and just in terms of simple pshat in the Braisa. And so the Gemara now is going to try to clear it up. I'm Rav Yochanan. Mamzer at Safak V'Halal Shosek. So Rav Yochanan says that the pshat in the Braisa is the following. It's not just a simple question of we have a suffix and we don't know the status. In other words, not like the Mishnah in Adios. But the Braisa that we went over, that we just went over, has a little more context to it. Notably, what happens is the following. Accusations are being levied against this individual. Okay? And Mamzer, Tzavach. So you're calling him a Mamzer. Okay? And again, not in the colloquial, but in other words, but no, the... an accusation is being made that the child is this person is a product of a union that would create a mamzer, okay, and tzavach. And what's his reaction? He's screaming, meaning a strong protest, and v'chalal shosek. And meanwhile, you also accuse him of being a chalal. To which point in time he's quiet, okay. And we're going to learn like Rashi that this is all one case. And so what's happening over here is that we're looking at his reaction to the accusations.
What's wrong with the
halal? As a halal, so he can't marry a kohen. Right. His children can't marry kohen. Okay. So, but you're right. In other words, the ramifications of being a halal are not nearly the same as being a mamzer. You're absolutely correct. In fact, that's going to be noted in just a moment. So, ika beinayu. So now, this is a case that the Bryce is describing where it's not just a question of suffix, it's a question of an accusation and his reaction. And how do we interpret the reaction? Okay, which, mind you, by the way, it's funny. Meaning, usually, we're not going to do statuses based on what he says and how he responds. But this is an unusual Well, the brace itself, as we already pointed out, is very difficult, and Rav Yochanan is offering a pshat in the brisa, and right now this pshat would seemingly work. How does it work? So Tanakama Savra, kol pasul dekara leva shasig pasul, v'hachi kama Tanakama. So the way Rav Yochanan explains it, this is the Tanakama's position, and that is that kol pasul dekara le vishasig pasul. So when you make an accusation regarding a person and his reaction is silence, so we're going to take that silence as an admission. And the Tanakhama says like this: Ezo aman nesisa kol shein balo shesok mamzeres velo shesok nesinus velo shesok avde malachim velo shesok chalal. So, according to the Tanakhama, so if he is quiet to any of the accusations, including chalal, so then we're going to take that silence as acquiescence. And as a result of that, they're going to be whatever the accusation was. Okay, obviously, we need a lot more context, meaning how many times does he have to protest every single time? Okay, I know there are follow-up questions, but we'll just get a simple pshat in the brisa. So that's the shita of the Tanakhama. Now, granted, by the way, the Tanakhama didn't mention halal, which is how we started off the whole discussion. But again, this is Rav Yochanan's interpretation of the brisa, and we're going to assume that all the charges were made against him, and if he's silent to any of the above charges, so that's going to be acquiescence, and obviously, so he is going to be whatever he was silent towards. Okay, fine. V'kamale rameir hanachu dekapasolei bekal, aval shasik chalal kasher, v'ad shasik mishum talo ichbalei. So, and Rav Meir's departure from the Tanakhama is the following, that we're going to make a distinction between the first three accusations and the last accusation. On an accusation of being a mamzer or an asin or an eved, so his silence is acquiescence. You're right. Okay. And obviously he doesn't want to say it, but he's saying it with his silence. Fine. But if you're charging him with being a halal and he's quiet to that charge, so what Rav Meir will tell you is, and don't interpret his silence as being an admission. It's not. And you know what it is? It's a shrug of the shoulders. Meaning, I don't need to even bother with responding. Why? Because lo ichbalei. Because, as Ben just pointed out, meaning, he's not moved to even react or to respond. He's not insulted. It's not going to make any significant difference in his life. Now, again, as Ben pointed out, you can't marry Cohen, but that's it. That's your full limitation as being a challah. Fine. So in other words, so you don't have to, according to Rav Meir, you don't interpret his silence to the accusation of being halal as acquiescence. So that's where we have disagreement between Tanakhama and Rav Meir. According to the Tanakhama, any accusation followed by silence is an admission to any of the four charges. According to Rav Meir, his silence is only going to be acquiescence on three of the four charges, but not halal. And now, the Kamalei Rav Shimon ben Elazar Tanakhama de Rav Meir Ishmielach de Machshir Rav Meir B'shtika Lo de Karalei Chalav V'Shasik Ela de Karalei Mamzer V'Shasik. And so now, what's the third opinion of the Brisa? The third opinion of the Brisa is exact opposite, meaning that silence to halal is acquiescence, silence to mamzer is not acquiescence. V'Hai de Shasik Savar Mamzer Kala Islay Ava Mamzer V'Savar Chalav V'Shasik Pasul. So, well, let's start like this. So, if you call my mamzer, this is, again, the third opinion of the brisa. If you call my mamzer and he's quiet, so, do you know why he's quiet? Because he doesn't need to respond. Meaning, everyone knows who the mamzerim are. Right? Going back to their time. So, everybody knows who the mamzerim are. So, in other words, it's such a blasphemous charge. It's such a silly charge. Meaning, either people know I'm a mamzer, people don't, or I'm not a mamzer. So in other words, it just simply doesn't deserve a reaction. Doesn't need a reaction. Everyone knows who the mamzerim are. However, ava mamzer v'tzava chalav v'shosek pasul. So v'hai de ishtik tzava mistai de la mafke le mikal. But in a case where mamzer and he reacts chalav and he's quiet. So, in fact, he's going to be pasul, meaning his silence to chalal is, in fact, going to be acquiescence. So and the vahai de ishik, and the reason why he's quiet is because look, right, at least I won't be disqualified from kal. Meaning, with the mamzer accusation, that's it. I would be disqualified from the kal. But now, all that's being charged against me is chalal. So, in other words, basically, he's admitting, he's copping to the fact that yes, in fact, he is in fact a chalal. Okay, so admittedly, a difficult pshat in the brisa, but the brisa itself was difficult, and so therefore the Gemara offers what is definitely a difficult pshat in the brisa, and we just finish off. So tenichad, we learned to one brisa, Rabbi Yosef Amar Shosek Mamzer Kasher Shesok Chal Apostle. So again, silence to a Mamzer accusation is going to be Kasher. Silence to a Chal accusation is going to be Apostle. V'tan Yidach in another brisa Shesok Chal Kasher Shesok Mamzer. Puzzle. The exact opposite. Lokasha, ha tanakama liba de rab meir, ha de rabbi shimon lazar liba de rab meir. And so, what did we learn together in the Braisa? How many variations of rab meir? Two, right? The second opinion, which is rabbi meir proper. And then the third opinion in the Braisa, which is rabbi shimon quoting rabbi meir. So over here, these two Braisas that are at odds with one another, it's just simply a reflection of which rabbi meir are we going to go with? Are we going to go with rabbi meir proper? Are we going to go with rabbi shimon's version of rabbi meir? Good. Ad kan. Takes us to the end of today's daf. Okay, so let's quickly recap. Right, let's call it now three big issues in today. Number one, the Arusa Ne'arusa, where she got pregnant, and she's pointing to him as being the father. He admits that he's the father. So Rav Yosef says, we're going to paskin like Rebbe Gamliel. And the Gemara equivocates just a little bit, because really, Rebbe Gamliel is only in case of emergency, meaning b'di'evit. Happens to be, we're in an emergency. She's pregnant. So this is b'di'evit. So the okay, that was number one. Number two, Amanasisa, which is a Mishnah Adios. Rabbi Yeshua is Mako, Rabbi Gamliel is a Machmir, and that is the exact opposite of what we've been hearing throughout our Mishnayos. To that, the Gemara says Amanasisa is different. Notably, in all of our cases, the woman is offering what's called a Tainis Bari. She's saying definitively who the man is. Again, it's a claim, but it's a Tainis Bari. So under those circumstances, Rabbi Gamliel says, we believe her. Rabbi Yeshua says, no. In other words, it's no lomi pianu chayin. The Mishnah in Adios is talking about a sveik sveika. How to get to a sveik sveika? Again, I admit it's difficult, but it's talking about a sveik sveika. Since it's talking about a sveik sveika, so that's why Rabbi Yeshua is a mekel. Rabbi Gamliel is a machmir over there. The Gemara doesn't, whatever. It's a little bit difficult to understand why Rabbi Gamliel is a machmir over there, but that's the distinction. And finally, the rest of today's daf, the brisa starts on Yudal Amud Aleph, continues to basically to the Mishnah, the bottom of the Amud Beis, and that's going to be the case of, well, now we're going to say over the brisa the way Rav Yochanan says it, accusations are made regarding a two-way person regarding his status. In other words, we're unsure, but we're looking at his response to the accusation. So under those circumstances, so his response to the accusation, and by the way, what I didn't go through is Tosus over here, meaning what an accusation to any given person is going to be taken at all seriously, meaning something intuitively we know, Tosus speaks it out, and that is that there's got to be more context over here. Right, in other words, right, exactly. There's got to be some context over here in terms of we're looking at his response to an accusation. But anyway, an accusation is made against an individual. How is he responding to the accusation? And three different opinions in terms of how to interpret a response, specifically that in which he is quiet to. So how do we take his silence as acquiescence, as a shrug of the shoulders? So three different opinions in the Braisa in terms of how to interpret his reaction. That's the Braisa as understood by Rabbi Yochanan.